Counselor Accents Podcast. Two school counselors who love their jobs. Oh, and they happen to have Southern accents too. Bless their hearts.
I am Laura Rancourt.
And I am Kim Crumbly. And together we are Counselor Accents.
And this is a special episode, a bonus episode, I believe is what we were calling it. This is a bonus episode this week of the special quarantine podcast episode. And we talked earlier in the week about blessings that have come out of this coronavirus issue. And I'm counting this as a blessing because we are connecting with Matt Berry. And he, I saw him in a school counselor group. He just popped up with some wisdom that he had shared on just online counseling tools that just sort of help people get started. And I was one of those that felt like there's so much out there. What do I do? And so this sort of brought some clarity, and it's color coded and just so easy to read. I sent it to Kim and we said we got to get him on our podcast. So Matt, we are so glad to meet you. And just honored to have you as a guest today. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, I'm very blessed to be here today and be with you today. So, yeah, so, you know, I'm in Missouri. So I work in Missouri in a school district there. And I also work closely with Missouri School Counsel Association. I'm actually chair of the board of directors there. And, you know, as we... as this all has kind of come about and taken place, I was seeing the same thing you were, because I'm on those same sites and saw all these resources that were coming, just flowing, and it is overwhelming, you know. And we started in Missouri. I started actually last week our own Missouri connection and our page, and so we have a Missouri School Counselor Supports page that we started, and I just put that out there on Facebook. Yesterday, day before, we got our 1,000th member, you know, and from that, I just thought, well, like, we need supports in our own state, just to make sure that we're meeting our needs. And then from that, created this virtual school counseling resource guide, just to gather all those resources that we're seeing everywhere and put them in one place so that we have one place to be able to go and make it more efficient for us. So
that doesn't surprise me, coming from Missouri, as we have as we have talked before, Missouri brings it to in so many areas, and we have said we have stolen and we have borrowed from things that Missouri has done. As you said, it's the show me state, and you guys are really showing it right now. So thank you for this resource and for sharing it with us and Pastor State.
Well, we appreciate that. Yeah, we pride ourselves on being the show me state. You know, and when it comes to school counseling and our program, and we're really proud of our program that we have here.
So you should be.
Thank you.
So let's talk about just as a school counselor. I was trained, and Kim knows this story. When I went back to get my counseling degree, I was interested in online courses so that I could do it. I lived 2 or 3 hours away from the school that I attended, and was looking at having to go several nights a week. So I wanted to take online courses, but the head of the department said, we don't really offer that because counseling is a face-to-face profession, and we believe that you should be trained as such. So in a face-to-face profession, now we are online, overnight almost.
Right.
It's from face-to-face and talking to students daily, face-to-face to online. So tell me, your biggest piece of advice for someone who is just saying, where do I even start?
Right. You know, I appreciate you just talking about that, because I'm going back and reflecting on my experience, you know, being trained as a counselor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I even remember them asking us to do portfolios and writing things about technology. You know, this is, you know, 15 years ago now. Uh-huh. You know, and the things I wrote back then, I pulled something out of my piece, and it said something about that I would use technology for email and Excel and Word. And I look at that and I'm thinking, what in the world was I thinking? Right? Like, this is so far removed from where we were. you know, and to where we are now, you know. And so I think that we've grown so much. And what I've done a lot of presentations around technology. And one of the things I always focus on is about technology and using technology in our programs is about connecting.
Okay.
And I think that we just need to be thinking about that and how are we connecting with our families, with our students during this time. I've talked like, how do we do it in our regular, you know, sites? Mm-hmm. But now how do we get to connect during this time? And so, you know, and I think there are some great tools out there to help us do that. I guess you want to maybe talk about that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, let's go there for a second.
So yeah, I think ASCA's done a good job. I mean, this week of providing us some guidelines of kind of what platforms are available to us and whatnot. For me, I've always tried to find ways to do that within my own program, whether that's ways for students to sign up with me, you know, electronically or for me to embed something when I'm in the classroom, outside the classroom. You know, obviously, I think the biggest kind of hot thing right now is thinking about our videos or using Zoom and using platforms like that to be able to connect with students and families. I think it's a good place for us to start.
Yeah.
When I look at your work and when you look at your Facebook page, some of the tools that you have been using in the past really inspired me. I mean, I see you using TikTok. I see you getting kids where they're at and what they're into. So I just encourage our listeners to check you out, get inspired by some of the ways that you do connect that are different. So yeah, you're talking about a beginning point.
Right.
So I will tell you a couple of things that we have already used is the video with the PowerPoint teaching. We have little ones, so we're doing videos that they can use. Is it the Screencast-O-Matic? What is it?
Yeah. Screencast-O-Matic. Yep.
I'd name it something different every time. So going a little bit deeper, which that was so much fun. This is a great opportunity to delve into some of these programs that we don't have time to generally, but I think going forward, we're going to use these a lot more. I was looking at Powtoons again this morning, getting ready to do something for my middle schoolers. So dig a little deeper, Matt. You said that's a good starting point, is Zoom and Google Hangouts and some of the things that ASCA did recommend, but what are some other safe things that you feel safe connecting with?
Yeah, so you know, I appreciate you talking about TikTok. I think that you know, obviously, I went there with TikTok and with my students, and I have been beginning of the year just as because you know, there's the other thing about technology is that we also have to teach students how to use technology and how to use it effectively. So I think that as we're moving into this world, we need to also still educate our students about being digital citizens and being, you know, positive and safe with digital citizenship and using technology and whatnot. And so there's definitely, I would want us to kind of put that in the forefront of what that looks like. And there are some great sites and places to be able to go and pull from to help, you know, with teaching some of those things. You know, I think I've used a Padlet. So you've heard of Padlet before. Mm-hmm. It's a good way to be able to gain and help students kind of provide information and share from one another. Obviously, Flipgrid, if you ever have played with Flipgrid before, it's a good video format. And I think right now, too, I'm seeing a lot of our teachers using that tool as a good way to connect with their students and to have students engaged in learning, whether they were on site or virtually. So those are definitely things that that I'm looking at how we can continue to infuse that into our programs right now and are things that are safe to use. You know, I there's so much out there. And I agree with you, you know, what you're saying. I think that one of the things that I'm always challenged by is thinking about that we do need to be challenged, you know, and that, right. and that it is okay for us to be prepared for, to be able to view challenges as a way to build learning opportunities. And I think that that's kind of where we are here, just what you said. I think when we get on the other side of this, we're going to be so much more equipped.
You're so right.
So. Oh, it's necessity is the mother of invention. Right. And while we may not be inventing, we are definitely reinventing ourselves. And I think that will forever be changed. I think that everything we're learning, that's, as Laura was saying, look for the blessings. I think we are going to be, and I hope counselors are using this opportunity to grow in this area, because we have some time to delve in and experiment with how are we going to talk with our students and deal with the issues that they have. And to, as you say, communicate with them. And I know on the Ask a Webinar, we need to be safe with it. We need to, I guess, make sure that our district is okay with the platforms that we use. So could you speak to that? I see what you're doing, and in my mind is, would my district be okay with me being, say, on TikTok or some other avenues? Talk to us about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, and I think that obviously, I think we have to look at district guidelines and where we fall within that. And I think it does differ from district to district, how you connect with your students. In the district I'm in, I feel like I have a lot of flexibility because I've also been able to establish a program, you know, and so they kind of know my why.
Yeah.
And I think that why is so important, you know. So if you've established your why, you kind of sometimes have a little bit more liberty because people trust you, you know. Mm-hmm. They trust where you're going with that.
Clapping for our listeners, because when you establish your program and you advocate for your program, people will trust you, and you can push those boundaries further out because they know the why.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. And I think that's important. I mean, I think that should be one of the first things we're looking at. What is your why, you know, and why do you do this? And I think also right now, virtually, I would challenge also that counselors don't feel like they have to do everything that someone else is doing, because that may not match up, you know, to what your students' needs are right now. So I think being true to where you are and where your students are doesn't mean you have to go do what the next person's doing.
So
I think that those things are very important.
So what you feel comfortable with. If it's Google Classroom or Google Meet, Hangout, right. Whatever you feel comfortable with and whatever reflects where you're at, and that's okay.
It is definitely okay. And I think it's also okay to take, you know, actions and risks that afford you an opportunity to have more contact with students. You know, and I think that's, you know, even when I decided to use TikTok, I don't know if you know anything about TikTok, but there's some things on TikTok that are not positive. And so part of me doing TikTok.
Oh, believe me, we know about TikTok,
okay,
man.
Okay. I'm sure you do know. If you're elementary, middle, or high, we know something about that. So I think, you know.
I have seen things I cannot get these eyes to unsee.
Exactly. And so the opportunity is there for us to, though, also put some things on there that are positive, you know, that students may come across and connect with. So I think it's, you know, that risk is sometimes a little bit, I'm willing to take, because it's about students.
I have a question about what you were talking about. Just tell me real fast, what grade levels do you work with?
I work with 6th, 7th, and 8th.
Okay. So talk for a second. You mentioned Padlet and Flipgrid. So let's take those and talk to the counselor who's never heard of Padlet, never heard of Flipgrid. Tell us how, I've got two questions on this. How do you use it? Like, what would you use it to discuss or, you know, whatever? And the second thing is, do you divide it up by grade level or do you just throw it out there for whoever's interested? So answer those questions for a second.
Sure. So as far as Padlet goes, I've used that in the classroom during lessons mm-hmm. at times. You know, the part that I think that we have to remember and that I think is also important is embedding into our program is for people to see that, you know, I am a teacher too. You know, so when I'm in the classroom, I try to use different, you know, strategies that teachers use in their classrooms every day or embed those. The thing about Padlet and Flipgrid in the classroom is about me building engagement
okay.
and ensuring that my students are engaged. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that that's helped with engagement. For Padlet, what that is pretty much is a virtual bulletin board. And so if you can imagine a bulletin board outside of your office, and it's just empty, and you post a question on that bulletin board, you want people to add things to that, that's what Padlet does. It just does it virtually. So I've utilized that in a lot of different ways. I've used it when we've talked about careers, when we've talked about just, hey, you know, just connect me to what did you do over, what's one thing that you did over a break, or, you know, just a way to kind of get everyone's voice in there. Flipgrid is really great because it's something very similar, although you can use video. And so students, you can pose a question and students can put their video on there and it gives you kind of a range of opportunities for to build engagement. I did this last year. I was doing a lesson in eighth grade classroom about careers. I had students took a exploration, an assessment, and then they had to choose a career and then talk about it on this video. And I got done with that, and I had students videos, eighth grade students on there, and they had created these videos. And I shared it with my teacher who was in the classroom. She sent me a message later that evening. She's like, this one student, I have never heard him speak one time in class.
Oh, wow.
And she's like, I didn't even know that he could speak. You know, I didn't know he could do that. And so, like, you know, it is about engagement and giving opportunity for students to share their voice and get them involved and, you know, engaged in that learning. And so that's what I've noticed in the classroom. What technology does is that it sometimes that student who has their hood on and their heads down, if I say, hey, we're going to use the computer today, or I want you to take out your phone, it gives opportunity for them to kind of feel like they can get engaged because they're more comfortable communicating that way. And so I think that, you know, virtually, like, those are great opportunities for us to do that, for us to connect with students the same way.
You just turned the tables on a point that we make with our digital citizenship lessons, how I think about the points that we make where we say, why do you think cyberbullying is so easy? And, you know, the students talk about how it's easier to say things when you're behind the screen and stuff right. like that. But you just put a positive spin on it and showed that it's easier to say things behind a screen for someone who may not be comfortable talking. And right. it's a positive thing. You know, it doesn't always have to be a negative thing. So
no, not at all. And I think that we want our students to learn, you know, and so, like, I mean, there are, you know, students learn in different ways. And so I think that it's finding ways to enable students to do that within our programs, I think is also very important. So
good.
Yeah, so good.
I was trying to open up that document that you shared to just go to some of those virtual online tools, and it's not pulling up for me. It's just spinning. So
let me see what's going on.
Oh, I'm sure it's me. It's a user error for sure. I'm positive about that.
If I could get it.
Can you pull it up?
Let's see. I think I am going to be able to.
Okay, here I've got
I do.
It. You got
so,
it.
Are you looking at the tech tools or what?
I am.
I am. So Headspace, that's something that you listed. Tell me what Headspace is. I have not heard of it.
So Headspace, it looks like it's an opportunity for students and for us to be able to just kind of help with some. It's also some of that kind of meditation and kind of help kind of clear, get be focused and refocused where we are. So it's a lot of tools around kind of meditation. Also things around to kind of help with your mood. They have a lot of resources there for stress and anxiety. And I didn't use Headspace, but one of my first days when last week, I need to set my own routine together. And so I got my headphone, my ear buds, put them in, went outside and I did a guided walk, and that was really helpful. It was helpful for me, just to kind of get grounded. And Headspace does some things that's very similar to that. So it provides a good tool for
and
that.
And Matt, let me share with our listeners that you do have on your Facebook page a sample routine, correct? It's like a routine for a day.
You're talking about on the on my Facebook page? Mm-hmm. So there was a resource that, yes, I think it was for families, I believe, maybe.
Yeah, it gave me some ideas and okay, some things to share. So that was.
And we can link that in our show notes so people don't have to go and feel like they need to friend request you or whatever. Although you're a very nice person, so.
Oh. Thank you.
Anyway, I'll put it in the show notes.
I love making friends.
Okay.
We can tell.
More friends.
But don't most counselors?
I think so.
Most counselors do.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. So I'll, and you said it was okay to share this spreadsheet also.
Most definitely. And yeah. And it really, the purpose of that is it's for anyone, everyone. And I really, I've had a couple people who have contacted me and said, hey, could we put this on that site? I found this. I think this would be helpful for other counselors. So this is about, this is our also community, opportunity for us to be able to learn from each other and have a place to go.
So. Yeah, so good. Okay. I also wanted to talk about something that you shared with me, and because I just thought it was so helpful during this time, and that was the 5 questions every school counselor should ask themselves every morning. And that's something for every day when we're in the office, when we're at our school. But you said, I think this is essential now as well. So let's talk about those for just a minute.
Sure. Yeah, I saw something like this in the teacher world. There was a teacher version of this. And I thought, man, what's this like for me as a school counselor? And the questions weren't the same. They were a little bit different. And I think we've already talked about this a little bit. The second question is kind of, is my why at the forefront? And we talked about that a little bit today. I think that is important for us to really focus on, really, what is your why?
Right.
I heard a great speaker, and I wish I could give credit. I don't remember who it was now. But they talked about more of asking, why do I get to do this? Why am I that fortunate that I get to go in every day and work with my students? It's just that different perspective and approach that I feel like that we sometimes need to have.
Yeah.
I think now, my why is the same. It's the students I work with. But I think it's something for us to ask right now, working virtually, what does that look like? Is our why the same?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we approach that?
Yeah.
And maybe even more so, Matt.
Agree.
Parents and students are facing economic challenges.
Right.
And a lot of the things that we consider ourselves the gatekeepers for, all this is going to be hitting where we're going, or we have an opportunity to go into action as we've never gone in before. So I think it's more than ever is a time to ask ourselves why.
Yeah.
Are you in for this, or is it time to say, I'm not prepared for this challenge.
No, most definitely. You know, I think that that's the thing. We know that, you know, this is a challenge that we're facing right now. Mm-hmm. You know, in our profession and also in education. Like, I think that on the other side of this, that things are going to be so much more amazing than maybe we were before. I think it's really just shaping us to be able to meet students' needs and in a lot different ways, and that it's going to be a lot more supportive for students and families. And so I'm excited about that.
Absolutely.
You know, the other thing that the third question is, am I prepared to view the challenges I might face as learning opportunities? And I always tell a story about this because, you know, one of the things that every year that I do is I do a survey for students coming in from fifth to sixth grade. And I always give a survey to all my students. I do kind of a minute meeting type survey at the beginning of the year, and we do it in the middle of the year, and our goal is to meet with all of our students. But one of the things that I did, this was probably about 10 years ago, I'd given the survey for a student that was coming from elementary to middle, and I had just asked all these different questions on there. And I had looked over all these questions and all these students, and it was that in May, the student was still a fifth grader, and they were coming to our school, and they were doing the fifth grade parent night, and he was in the library running around. And I pulled him aside and I said, hey, I said, you know, on your survey, you had put on there BFWAC. I'm going to be BFWAC. And I thought, what? I'm pretty hip on tech and all these things. I'm like, but I don't know what BFWAC means. Like, what does that mean? So I asked him and he said, oh, Mr. Berry, that stands for best friends with a counselor.
Aww.
Oh my gosh, this kid has just gotten me like... best friends with the counselor. I can't believe this. So later that night,
show title. There's our show title.
Right. I'm in the library, and he's there that night. You know, he's still fifth grade at this point, and I watch him, and he's running around. He's jumping off a table. He's knocking down books. He's doing this and that. And I thought, he's so right. He's gonna be best friends with the counselor. Like, I knew it. But what I learned was that that year. We did have a challenging year, you know, and what that taught me was that I need to see challenges as opportunities. It just changed my perspective. And so we all have these BFWACs, whether they're students, whether they're teachers or parent conversations or struggles with our administration. Like, it's opportunity for us to be able to grow and to learn. And I think where we are with this virtual reality that we're in, we can see this as a barrier, or we can see this as an opportunity. I would challenge us to see it as opportunity.
Oh, wow, Matthew, we needed you.
So good.
Okay. There we go. Clapping. Wow. Clapping for you. It's like you have written these. I know you have done. You did this before all of this happened, but it's just so timely right now.
It is. Yeah, the fourth one is, what is one small thing I can do to care for myself? And that's important right now with self-care. You mentioned putting your earbuds in and taking a walk. And
most definitely.
I mean, we've been stuck inside with the rain. I don't know about you, but it's been like the flood has happened. And so now it's sunny, and I'm thinking we need some sunshine today. Just a breath of fresh air would do everybody good during this time.
I agree. And I think that is, you know, I think I'm trying to figure out what do I need. Now, yesterday I laid on the couch all day and watched something on Netflix. So I didn't do anything.
That's self-care sometimes.
It was self-care for me, you know. But
it's,
I think,
self-care also, for Laura all the time. Laura, be honest.
Is it?
Be honest, laying up on the couch. He means sometimes, not all the time.
I get to pick what I want to watch, though.
Oh, well.
Frozen 2 all day, every day.
Well, I can live with that. I kind of like Frozen 2. No, but yeah. So, but I think we have to find out what is our self, you know, what is that for us? And rely on that. Know that if we don't take care of ourselves, we can't take care of others. And I always, when I'm working with my families and my parents, I'm always asking them that question. When we get done with that hard conversation about their students, you know, I'm asking, like, you know, what do you doing for you? because we know, I mean, as parents, whoever we're taking care of, that, you know, we have to care for ourselves.
Right.
And it's okay to be selfish, you know, because that being selfish helps us be selfless. And so I think that is so important for us.
So good. Yeah, we put the pressure on ourselves sometimes to have all the answers, and as parents or as counselors or whatever, and we forget that it's okay to let the pressure off sometimes and take care of yourself.
And Matt, we got to the last point in your 5 points. Could you tell us what that is and expound on that a little bit?
The last one? So one of the questions, the last question I'd ask for us to ask ourselves as counselors, and then especially as we're thinking about in this virtual reality that we're living in, is, you know, what actions or risks do I need to make to ensure I have more direct contact with students to meet their needs? I was talking to a counselor friend of mine, and she was just a little upset because she had heard from her administrator about what her role needs to be right now. And so they were trying to work that. And we talked about that sometimes it's better, okay, to ask for forgiveness than permission when you are trying to do what's right for students. You know, I think right now, you know, and always, I think we need to advocate and take that risk and have that conversation with administrators, that conversation. And especially when it matches our why, and it ensures that we're trying to meet students' needs. One of the things I always talk about is that, you know, when you advocate for your role as a school counselor, you're really advocating for students. And I always struggled with that for such a long time, our profession, about how much we talked about our role and all that. And I didn't get it at first, you know, but then I realized, oh, this is not about me. You know, this is about my students, and I just about me being able to do the work so that I can meet the needs of my students. And so I think, you know, it's okay, you know, take that risk, and ask yourself, you know, what do I need to do? And right now, that's going to help me meet those students' needs.
Well said, Matt. And not to defend the administrator, but I think everybody's trying to figure out their own role. And if we do not, if we don't use this opportunity to possibly define our own role, as Laura often says, somebody's going to define it for us. So I would suggest to your counselor friend, if nobody's giving her direction, without going past, I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but maybe an opportunity for us to define what our role is going to look like now.
Right. And I think I agree. I think that's what it's about. You know, I think that we're having this podcast, and so YouTube being able to provide this podcast for counselors, it provides opportunities for us to learn from each other, you know, and to search out there. So having that template and tool, it's able to see that virtual school counseling resource, is to be able to see what is everyone doing, and is there something there that I can borrow that is working here that I can offer as a opportunity for me to have within my own program. So yeah, I agree with you, Kim, that's exactly what we're talking about.
Well, and to jump back on that too, if you're not hearing from your administrator, I would take that as they trust you.
True.
To know that you're going to be doing whatever you can do to meet your students' needs. So I would almost look at that as a compliment, really. And that would inspire me to do even more.
And I'm sure that's according to who, you know, as school counselors, who our administrators are.
Right.
There are those out there that have no clue what we do as school counselors. And that can be very frustrating. And I imagine in this time, that could be frustrating. Like, I would like to do this. I need clearance from you. I need you to talk to me. I need us to communicate.
So I
imagine there's a world of different feelings about this issue and working with the powers that be right now.
No, I agree with the income. Like what you said, you know, I mean, I think that for the sake of administrators too, like I guarantee that, and I know this, that they're asking the same question. You know, what is my role? You know, what do I do now? You know, I think that we're all at the same place. And I think, you know, if we're at this point now in this questioning stage about where we are and what we provide as counselors virtually, you know, I think that it is even more important for us to be having those conversations when we're back in our buildings too. Yeah. You know, so like you're saying, you know, I think that it just gives us, we need to be able to talk to administrators and do that work and work alongside them and sometimes ask for forgiveness because we're doing it and because what's best for students, you know. I had a conversation yesterday with a district administrator in our district just about setting out, you know, what is going to be our role as school counselors in our district right now, you know, because we really haven't had a lot of guidance yet. We're actually on spring break this week. Okay. So, hey, you know, so I'm trying to enjoy my spring break. But next week, you know, I'm back to work. And so, but we talked a little bit and I said, you know, I think it's important that just that we don't lose sight that school counselors are essential in this role, in what we play in this virtual, you know, reality that we have. You know, and she said, I don't think anyone's forgotten that, but I think that as counselors, sometimes we question that, you know, right now. And so I think just trying to put that in the forefront, like what is our role, if, you know, during this time and how can we be helpers still and feel that we are being helpers, even though we're not having that, you know, touch that we really like to have.
Right.
So I think just it's really going to depend on kind of where you are, you know, in your own programs.
Absolutely. And that's why we always say advocate for your program, because it's times like these where you need the trust of those other folks to say, I know I can trust her program. I can trust his program. I can trust what they're doing here. And we build that all year long in everything we do to promote our program and to be a viable part of our school. So we just thank you so much, Matt. I am a fan now that Laura has kind of introduced me to your work and what you've put out there. And I would love to do more collaboration with you, Laura and I, because I just feel like you have you're a font of knowledge. When you weren't listening to us, we had gotten off. We were like, he's so good.
I appreciate that.
You know, set the good work for your students.
I appreciate that. You know, and I think that, you know, we're just blessed because, you know, this is what this, like, our community is about. You know, I think it's about learning from each other. And I've learned from so many amazing counselors and teachers, and, you know, and I think that for us to just to grasp, to continue to learn, you know, and to grow, I think that's what's been important, you know, and so I appreciate that coming from both of you.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm looking at number five as a personal challenge for us and for our listeners that, you know, right now, let's take some of these tools that we've talked about, maybe something that we've never used, and let's just challenge ourselves to get a little uncomfortable, all for the sake of our students, and learn something new and take advantage of this time and connect with our students in a different way.
And as we have said, Matt, we preach growth mindset. Mm-hmm. Now it's time to put that into action.
I agree with that.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for taking the time to be with us.
And it's been just so wonderful and eye-opening and just exciting, really.
Well, I do. I appreciate the invitation and definitely enjoy being here with you today.
Thank you.
We just got off the podcast with Matt. He was a treasure trove of information, was he not?
He was a trove of information, and I feel like he favored me between the both of us. I feel like Matt, it was so knowledgeable and so kind, and I really feel like he will be a go-to for us and an asset for
Absolutely. Yep. And listeners, if you have not checked out Missouri's resources, do it during this time where you have a little bit more time to go on and check things out. You will thank us later because it's...
Yeah, they have it going on.
Yeah. All right, Kim, you know what time it is.
It's time for cat pick. It's time for cat pick. It's cat time pick. For me to share my cat pick.
Okay.
And my cat pick is week 6 of quarantine.
And for you listeners, it is a person who has painted their face to look like their cat.
And it is a very good likeness.
Yep, they did a good job.
So that is, I have nothing else to do.
So I'm going to
dress up like the cat.
My cat pick. Okay, there is a show on Netflix and on Facebook. Everybody's talking about it. I have not watched it. It may be ugly. It may have just obscenity and terrible things that I would not advocate for. But
let me go ahead.
I'll tell you about it. So I haven't watched it, so I'm throwing that out as a disclaimer. But it's this tiger show, and Exotic Joe is his name, and I think he tames tigers. I really don't even know enough about it to be
just the name that. Exotic Joe makes me want to think maybe you should have looked into this. So go ahead, Laura.
And that may not even be the name. I don't even know. But he wears these clothes that are just like sparkly, everything that I am, sparkly animal print. He wears his clothes and tigers. So I found this last night. If, can you see it?
Gosh, yes, God. Yes.
If a Lisa Frank notebook were a person.
That's great.
So I don't know if you remember Lisa Frank.
I do.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's like, it made me belly laugh last night. Like,
and life. Lisa Frank, if you're listening, you're still relevant. I don't know why she's putting you in past tense.
Hey, you're still relevant. And just to prove it, I'll put all of my counselor accents notes in a Lisa Frank album. All right, what's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is the country coming together, the Democrats and the Republicans coming together to do a stimulus package for the entire United States based on what economists say will help our economy get back together. So when fractions can unfraction for a bit, that's good thing. So that's my pick is leaders putting aside their bipartisanship and coming together and doing what they feel like and what the economists say will help our economy. How about yours?
My pick of the week, and it's so interesting because you said this at the beginning of our podcast with Matt, and I can't remember now what you said, but I had taken a screenshot last night of companies that were founded in the last recession between 2008 and 2009. And do you remember what you said?
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Airbnb, Uber, Venmo, Square, Pinterest, those were all developed during the recession of 2008 and 2009. So I'm excited to think about what's going to come from this.
Absolutely.
All right. Do you have a tip, trick, or technique? Mine is a game that my girls and I have been playing pretty much every day, and it's called Silly Street. I got it for $5 at Walmart, and it's a board game, but it is so much fun, and it works with any age group, but it's just like you'll pull a card, and you have to say something encouraging to the person to the left of you, and then everybody who says that gets moved 2 spaces. Or maybe you'll pull a card and you have to squawk like a parrot. Or you have to be a cat putting on pajamas. I mean, it's just like silly things, but also very uplifting and encouraging things.
Ah, I love that tip.
Silly Street. Go look it up. It's great for small groups. It's great for, you can only have four players, so keep that in mind.
That would be a really small group, Laura.
It'd work.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm getting a knock on the door from my five-year-old. Oh, and my three-year-old. So I'm thinking.
Okay, that means your time is up.
We're done.
Bye-bye. Hello. Hey, girls. Hey, girls.
You don't have pants on.
Hey, guess what? Neither do I.